Now look at the fourth and last part of the test. You will hear five short extracts in which different people give their views on what they like to read when they go on holiday. Each extract has two questions. For questions 23 to 32, choose the correct answer, A, B or C. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute to look at part four. Speaker 1.
I suppose it's a good idea to take something that is lightweight in volume, but it's even more important to take something lightweight in content as well. When, as a Callows student, I was making my first trip to New York, I took some well-known classic of European literature with me because I wanted people on the plane to notice what a great fat intellectual book I had and to think that I was clever. It wasn't a very clever thing to do, in fact. I only managed to read about 5 pages in all the 8 hours it took to get there.
Speaker 2.
I've always prided myself on being able to read in any vehicle, but the exception is aeroplanes. Something about them means I find it impossible to settle down. I remember somebody giving what I thought was an excellent tip about holiday reading. Never take to the airport a book you haven't started already, because if you're delayed, you'll be so agitated you'll never get started on a new book. But an old favourite or something you're in the middle of enjoying, and you'll be back into it straight away. So, some familiar short stories, something well written, are best for me.
Speaker 3.
If you're English, a nice, sad 19th century romance is very useful if you're on holiday and you get attacked by homesickness, because it conjures up dripping English autumn days perfectly. In fact, I first read some of the best bits of English literature when I was returning from a holiday abroad which had gone horribly wrong. I'd got some terrible stomach bug and I was fainting at the railway station and so on. I started reading this book, and it's such a very touching book that I had to put my sunglasses back on in the train to hide the floods of tears flooding down my cheeks.
Speaker 4.
I always take something by this chap who's written a number of books about the criminal underworld of Boston, Massachusetts, which is hardly culturally or geographically a place that I know, but I find it fascinating. There's no doubt about it. If you compile, as I do, dictionaries of slang for a living, one is drawn inevitably, not, alas, to the great classics, who are on the whole rather light on slang, but to someone like this fellow, who has this amazing ability, far beyond quoting, of writing 20 or 40 pages of dialogue in almost incomprehensible slang, which I have the most wonderful time going through. I find it very alluring.
Speaker 5.
I'll be taking an author I've only recently come across from now on. She's an author who has recently been reprinted, and I discovered her with absolute rapture and was delighted to read in a biographical note that she wrote 23 books, and I've only read 3 of them. So that's 20 more for me to wander through over the next few years. I think her books are actually good for those who can't afford holidays, because the experience of reading one of her books is more than any other book I've come across, like going on holiday. The sparkle of intensity has a magical effect on you. It takes you out of yourself completely.
Now you will hear the recording again. Remember, you must complete both tasks. Speaker 1.
I suppose it's a good idea to take something that is lightweight in volume, but it's even more important to take something lightweight in content as well. When, as a Callow student, I was making my first trip to New York, I took some well-known classic of European literature with me because I wanted people on the plane to notice what a great fat intellectual book I had and to think that I was clever. It wasn't a very clever thing to do, in fact. I only managed to read about 5 pages in all the 8 hours it took to get there.
Speaker 2.
I've always prided myself on being able to read in any vehicle, but the exception is aeroplanes. Something about them means I find it impossible to settle down. I remember somebody giving what I thought was an excellent tip about holiday reading. Never take to the airport a book you haven't started already, because if you're delayed, you'll be so agitated you'll never get started on a new book. But an old favourite or something you're in the middle of enjoying, and you'll be back into it straight away. So, some familiar short stories, something well written, are best for me.
Speaker 3.
If you're English, a nice, sad 19th century romance is very useful if you're on holiday and you get attacked by homesickness, because it conjures up dripping English autumn days perfectly. In fact, I first read some of the best bits of English literature when I was returning from a holiday abroad which had gone horribly wrong. I'd got some terrible stomach bug and I was fainting at the railway station and so on. I started reading this book, and it's such a very touching book that I had to put my sunglasses back on in the train to hide the floods of tears flooding down my cheeks.
Speaker 4.
I always take something by this chap who's written a number of books about the criminal underworld of Boston, Massachusetts, which is hardly culturally or geographically a place that I know, but I find it fascinating. There's no doubt about it. If you compile, as I do, dictionaries of slang for a living, one is drawn inevitably, not, alas, to the great classics, who are on the whole rather light on slang, but to someone like this fellow, who has this amazing ability, far beyond quoting, of writing 20 or 40 pages of dialogue in almost incomprehensible slang, which I have the most wonderful time going through. I find it very alluring.
Speaker 5.
I'll be taking an author I've only recently come across from now on. She's an author who has recently been reprinted, and I discovered her with absolute rapture and was delighted to read in a biographical note that she wrote 23 books and I've only read 3 of them. So that's 20 more for me to wander through over the next few years. I think her books are actually good for those who can't afford holidays, because the experience of reading one of her books is more than any other book I've come across, like going on holiday. The sparkle of intensity has a magical effect on you. It takes you out of yourself completely.
That is the end of part 4. There will now be a 10-minute pause to allow you to transfer your answers to the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. The question papers and answer sheets will then be collected by your supervisor. That is the end of the test.